Good morning, church. I never had to come right back up right after singing, but we're going to figure this out. I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to preach God's word. What else would I ever be doing if I wasn't here in the house of God? So I know what it is to struggle, and I know what it is to be a base. And just thank the Lord for the opportunities that he do avail to us as believers. Trust him, and I trust nobody else. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to come out of Psalms chapter 23. I always wondered when I was at a funeral, when I heard those passages talked about, the Lord is my shepherd. So I just wanted to do a study on that and just to see what the Lord would have in the study. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as I boldly come before thy throne of grace, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, who died for me and all of us in this room on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, what a tremendous opportunity, Lord, it is to know you as our Savior. And Lord, I pray, Father God, use me now. Put your Holy Spirit in me, Lord, and guide and direct me, Lord, as I try to understand. And as I've dealt with my own heart in this matters, Lord, help me to help others. And I'll be sure to thank you for it all. For I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen. The Psalm of David. That's what it says. The Psalm of David. The author is David. David's poem is set to notes. It is accompanied by a song of David to the Lord. David is talking to and about the Lord, Jehovah, addressing him directly as his shepherd. So Psalms 23 expresses, as simply and clearly as day, God as our protector and provider in life. So what is a shepherd? Number one, he is a keeper of the sheep. So what is a shepherd? Number two, the needs of the shepherd are the first concern. The needs of the sheep are the first concern of the shepherd. Number three, the shepherd takes care of all the sheep's needs. So we'll read. I'll go ahead and read these six verses, and then we'll get into the scriptures. Psalms 23 says, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord, in verse 1, is our shepherd. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So when I started out to study this, the Hebrew word for shepherd, if I'm incorrect, correct me, is a roha. So one of God's name is Jehovah Roha, meaning the Lord is my shepherd. And co-referencing that, let us look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For the sake of time, I always write stuff down, so you guys, I'll wait till y'all get there. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, for we are sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. I shall not want. What does this literally mean? I shall not lack. God's loving protective care is perfect. His sheep need nothing else. And go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. As we all know that verse. We'll be going through some scriptures today, so. I guess you interpret scripture with scripture, right? So. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your needs. He didn't say some. He said all of your needs. So when we're going through troubled times, He will supply the need for us to sustain those troubled times. No matter what the situation might be, it could be family, it could be friends, just know that God will supply your needs in that time of trouble. So he shall supply all your need according to what? His riches and glory by what? Christ Jesus. We also know that on Judgment Day, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, will separate his sheep from the goats. So just know we have that understanding. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 and 33. I love it when I hear that separate the sheep from the goats. Jesus describes here the final judgment, stating he will separate nations as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, placing the sheep on the right hand and the goat on the left. So I'll read that scripture now that I going through that. So Matthew 25 verses 32 and 33. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. What a tremendous picture of the Lord keeping us for his own. And separating the world from us. So that's a tremendous blessing. In verse 2, he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I just thought about green grass when I was thinking about that. You know, when I got saved, before I got saved, I didn't know what it was to rest. I was all over the place, man. But you know, when I first got saved, the first thing I could do was take a deep breath. And I couldn't have to worry about those folks that were looking for me. You know, I took a deep breath. I was able just to think about his awesomeness and what he did for me on the cross of Calvary. And man, I tell you, that's a tremendous opportunity just to worship him. And that first just alone. Yeah, just amazing. This is a picture of complete peacefulness and rest, as I said before. You know, somebody said something. God's grace. I always talk about God's grace in the morning. Grace is God giving us that which we do not deserve. What comes after grace? Mercy. And what comes after mercy? Peace. And what comes after peace? Love. And so when you have all those things tied together, man, what a tremendous opportunity to just rest in him. You know, it's just a tremendous blessing to know the awesomeness of God, the complete peacefulness and rest that he gives us in the times of trouble. And sister, I'm praying for you all back there. You know, just continue to put your faith and trust in God in your situation. The prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. In a fat pasture, it says, shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. So when I looked up that word fat, it says rich. In a rich pasture, that's where the Lord will feed us at. Green pastures should lead us to the house of God. What? To hear the words of God. For what? Biblical change. So every time we're here to hear the word of God, it's for what? The reason for that we might change biblically, Because the word of God is biblical. It brings about biblical change. The good shepherd knows his sheep and leads them to the food. For the believer, this food is the word of God. And we are told to eat of this word. Look at the still waters. Look at still waters. This water is not forced upon the sheep. They are led to the water. Okay? And they may or may not partake of that water, but it is available. Anytime that we are struggling, God's water is available. We can drink of it and not thirst again. But the thing of it is, knowing that he's there for us, that's a tremendous blessing in it all. Let's look at John 4, verse 14. And that's just an example of what God's drinking of this water is. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So that well is a fountain of water. And what a tremendous blessing to know that we can drink of that water, and we have drunk of that water. And you know, I was driving the highway coming here this morning, and I saw something, a billboard. It says, and it had a guy on there with a tennis racket, and it said, you go ahead and live your life. This was a healthcare message. We got your back. I said, no, they don't. They don't have your back. The minute you run out of money, your bed is gone. Someone has to come put you in a convalescent home. So, in verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so I wrote here, humanity needs soul restoration because of difficult situation, circumstances, sin, and the world's influence. The Lord Jesus Christ desires an intimate relationship with mankind and his people. If they only knew what God desires, he said, you know, and through his word. God says, I came to seek and to what? To seek the lost. So if they only knew, thank God for his grace. And I think somebody said it early this morning, it behooves us to tell somebody as well. Okay? Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'll wait till you all get there. Like again, I said, I'll write things down for the sake of time, man. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what he did for us. That's how we live today. And that's what Paul was talking about. But yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Lord should be living in us, not around us. He should be in us. We have our hearts. We desire to live for him. And that should be our total purpose. You know, some days I just sit back and I think, Lord, just take all this stuff away. The job, cars. Just let me just do your will. But Lord, the Lord said, you still got a family to take care of, Andrew. But you know what? I just want to do my Father's will. I just want to do my Father's will. Because I know if I just do his will, I can help others. And the tremendous blessing in all that, I got saved. So I'm willing to help others. But God is a tremendous, he's a great God. A great God. I know whatever he did for me, I know he can do it for others. Jesus laid down his life for mankind. They only knew. And his sheep. Restoration of the soul makes one a new creature in Christ. That's what the Lord did for us when we got saved. He restored our souls. See, we have the, I think it's in Ecclesiastes where it says something about he has set the world in our hearts. He set eternity in our hearts. And the world understands this, and Pastor always says this as well. They are elect, but they have to claim their election. their election. It's already there, but they need Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Thought about this when I was thinking about the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what happened to all of us when we got saved. That's what happened to me on the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. Each and every one of us in this room, you know, we became a new creature. And the old things, whether they were good or whether they were bad, they all passed away. Christ, the Lord wiped all that stuff away. And I thought about that, man. I said, me? Lord, you took all that stuff away from me? Yes, I did, Andrew. And so all things are become new now. I have a desire and a love to be in the house of God each and every day the doors are open. I thank God for a pastor that loves his flock. Man, what a tremendous blessing the Lord guiding me here. And I remember what pastor always says to me. He said, you were wandering, Andrew. He said, you got to hold a brother down. And my wife called him and said, you got to tell my husband, he's all over the place. Tell that brother about Bible Baptist Church. And I was like, I was so encouraged by that, man. And every time pastor tells me that, it just brings me to tears, man. So I thank the Lord. I'm here. I'm studying under God's word. He's preaching. We have a tremendous pastor who loves us. And you know, I thank God for him. You know, the Lord's work works in him and through him. Why? To bring us to understand the scriptures. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I can do that now. I can walk through the shadow in the valley of death and fear no evil. For the Bible says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death is not a state, a condition, or an abiding place. Rather, the beloved of the Lord passed through death to get to heaven, where they experience eternal pleasures and joy. What a tremendous testimony. The protection of the sheep is the shepherd. Death may be all around us, as it is when the wolves come to attack the sheep, right? But as long as the sheep stay near the shepherd, you are safe. What does that shepherd do? He stands by, he looks over those sheep, and the sheep can't run. We're set up where we can be taken advantage of, but our pastor, he watches over us. Thank God for a shepherd that watches over his sheep. And so there is an end to the valley above, because of it says through the valley. We will once walk through a few valleys in life. Trust me, we all have them. And we will walk through some valleys. But we must walk through a few valleys before we can appreciate the mountaintop. Mankind in general fears death. For the believer is in Christ is not without hope, as the world is, though. We have hope of the coming of Jesus Christ again. He is coming back. We grow more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. So just remember that when you are in that valley, God is teaching us some lessons. And I'm in that valley every morning. I'm in that valley every day. The valley is where I learned my biggest. I learned how to get closer to the Lord. That's all I can say is just when I go through those tough valley times, man, I just think on Christ. The mind of Christ. That's what the pastor tells us to do. We need to have the mind of Christ. So Jesus defeated what? Death when he rose from the grave. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 and 54. We talk about that death, the Lord coming from the grave. In verse 53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So we are not to fear. Fear is when Satan tries to get a hold of us. We need to trust God all the way through. We get saved by faith, we live by faith, and we die by faith. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me, and this I love this, in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my hair with oil, and my cup runneth over. Like I said, I would sit in those funerals before I was saved, and I was like, what is that? I said, well, let me study that out and see what it means. And so the enemy pursues, but the Lord's people are safe in the shelter of the shepherd's tent. Jehovah God prepares the table while the enemy is just outside the tent. Isn't that something? When the trouble is right on you, the Lord prepares us. He prepares a table right there to get us out of those troubles in that situation as well. The good shepherd literally feeds his children in the presence of their enemies. So notice who prepares the table. It is the Lord, right? The enemy may surround us, but the Lord still prepares the table. The high priest was anointed with oil in such an abundance that it ran down, his chin. This is the type of anointing spoken of here. We never run out of the anointing God provides. It is more than enough for the believer. Look at Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30. And Moses took of the anointing oil. This is where the priests and the garments were anointed. And so Moses took on the anointing of oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and his sons' garments with him. So David testified that the shepherd was with him in every battle, strengthening and refreshing him throughout. First, the Lord fed and nourished him. He spread a table for him in the very presence of his enemies. David was surely thinking of those who had supplied food for him to him when he was a fugitive in the wilderness. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 6. They fed David when he was in the wilderness. So 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 6 says, so the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. How comforting is it to know that we are never alone in life's valleys. The Lord has promised his unfailing presence in our lives when we are walking through the valleys, he will move to our side and escort us safely, though through them, even carrying us when necessary. We come victorious through every trial with the Lord on our side. And sometimes he carries us as well. Jesus laid down his life. Let me see, I think I went backwards here. Give me a minute. Yeah, I think I went backwards here. Yep. All right, here I am. All right. So verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The believer can be assured of the Lord's goodness and love. How? Number one, through all the days of life. David had experienced enough of life to know that God is good all of the time. In every circumstances, God's goodness have flowed out to him. In battles, false accusations, his life as a fugitive, the death of his child, and heart-rending problems within his family. Okay? And even in David's time of horrific sin, adultery, and murder, God displayed his goodness to him. So in times of distress, David repeatedly called out for God's mercy. Kesed. Mercy. And I wrote that down. Let me look at that. Because I said, Kesed means God's steadfast, loyal, and covenant-keeping love. I thought that was fitting. To preserve him, and God showed his steadfastness, covenant love. And look at Psalms 5, verse 7. Psalms 5, verse 7 says, "But as for me, I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy." That's that kesed. "And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." The Lord had proven true to his character and his word. David expected God's goodness to continue throughout the rest of his life, and so should we. So should we. And I always turn away, okay. "And he knew that Jehovah would be unfailing, true to his great name." B, through giving us eternal life in heaven. Okay, once again, the believer can be assured of the Lord's goodness and love through giving us eternal life. Where? In heaven, the Lord's house. David loved the Lord's house, the tabernacle in Jerusalem. Look at Psalms 122, verse 1. "And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He envied the sacred." So that's the title, that's the verse, but let me go on because I put something in there. "He envied the sacred privilege of the priests who lived there, longing to dwell in, to dwell there himself." Look at Psalms 27, verse 4. And David said this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." What? "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That's us as believers. We should look to dwell in the house of the Lord. We have a home. We have a home. "But even as though he was king, he was forbidden by God's law to dwell in the tabernacle. Thus, his strong desire was to build the Lord's another temple, a dwelling place that would be more worthy of God's matchless glory." And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And as I said, I'm not going to read all that. That's, you guys can read that later on. Although the Lord did not allow David to build the earthly temple, he was able to look beyond this life to the fulfillment of the glorious dream that the Lord gave him. So as I close, how wonderful to be one of the sheep. Why would anyone not want to be in his flock? Why would anyone choose to wander aimlessly through life unprotected, unguided, and uncared for? Thank God he cares for us. Why would anyone refuse to choose him and the wonderful privilege of living with him forever? This last thing, John chapter 3, verse 16. I was thinking about the world. Why would anybody in the world not want this? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all I have, folks.